Buckeye Talk is brought to you by ShopOhioState.com and the Ohio State University Barnes & Noble Bookstore, the finest place online and in person for all the best Ohio State apparel, and MinutemanTickets.com, all your ticket needs, a national selection with a local feel. Make our ticket guys your ticket guys. Previously on Buckeye Talk.
Oh no, what's gonna happen? Everything's terrible!
Wait, everything's not terrible. Everything might be mediocre. Hey, Uncle Tim has a radio show. Landis likes soft pretzels. Doug's afraid of robots. And now, this week's Buckeye Talk.
Is that a good, that's like a soap opera tease.
Yeah.
Did you get a tease off that? Did that feel teasy to you?
I think, being reduced simply to a man who loves soft pretzels, I thought sold me a little short.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
We just call that Buckeye Talk of Our Lives.
Buckeye Talk of Our Lives. Welcome back to Buckeye Talk of Your Lives. Doug LaMaurice, Bill Landis, Tim Bielik. The finest Ohio State podcast in the land. We're going to talk about everything today. You can read our stuff at cleveland.com/OSU. Follow us on Twitter at Buckeye Talk Pod, at Tim Bielik, at Bill Landis 25, at Doug LaMaurice. Here's what we're going to do. The season is approaching. We still have not talked to anybody about the season, so we're going to conduct fake interviews. Bill Landis is going to be Ryan Day, and Tim and I are going to interview him for an hour about RPOs.
Go Birds.
That sound good? We're going to talk about what's going on with the Ohio State investigation. Some. Then we're going to get into a load of your questions, and you guys have asked a bunch of questions about football, some about the investigation, but we're not going to only do the investigation. We have to talk about it some. Landis has cast his ballot in the AP poll, which comes out when?
Next Monday, the 20th.
It's released on the 20th.
I think it's possible we might get some news that overshadows the AP poll on the 20th.
Oh!
But that's when the AP poll comes out.
What would overshadow the AP poll? I can't even imagine.
Nothing. You know what? Nothing.
Somebody might get a black stripe off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we'll talk about black stripes. We're going to take a lot of your questions. Hey, guess what? Live Buckeye Talk coming August 27th. And Monday, 7 to 9 at the Hofbräu House in Columbus.
And I got an update just heard. 112 people have signed up for the show.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
112 people have signed up for the show. We will plug the show again later. And if you can't make it in person, but we'll be there in spirit, we will tell you how you can participate in the show. We're trying to add some stuff. We're working on exactly the format and exactly what we're going to do. We'll keep you posted on that. We want it to be not the best Buckeye Talk ever. We want it to be the 19th best Buckeye Talk ever, because I don't want to sell us short by saying, well, now we're actually going to be good at it, but just because we're in front of people.
I thought episode 132 was the best.
Really good.
Yeah.
That's what the critics say.
Yeah.
Well, it can't be 105, though.
It's like our Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we submitted for the podcast Emmys, was episode 132.
Yeah.
We have an audience here today. My neighbor Andrew is here. He is interested in sports journalism. Let me rephrase that. He was interested in sports journalism before he came in my basement to smell farts and listen to us babble into a cell phone for 2 hours. And we're professionals. Mm-hmm. So we will ask Andrew at the end if he is still interested in this career or if we have ruined it for him.
I have a guess on that.
Yeah, we ruin things for lots of people. We'll get to the farts later. That's the 5-star reviews for today. But let's start with where we are with the Ohio State investigation. And by the time you listen to this, things may have changed. We don't think, let me ask you first, Bill, 14 days is the timeline they gave when they announced this board, the 6-person board that was going to oversee things, and they announced who was going to lead the investigation. We know, as we record this on Tuesday, we know they talked to Courtney Smith on Monday. Zach Smith has said that he plans to talk to them. 14 days would be what? Till Friday?
It was 14. They, on August 5th, which was last Sunday, or I guess 2 Sundays ago now, they said that it would take 14 days. So I'm going 14 off of August 5th, which would mean till this coming Sunday.
Because 5 plus 14 is
19.
19.
Yeah.
19th is Sunday. Yeah. They're not going to do it on Sunday, are they?
No. Well, that's the other thing, too. The language in their release was they expect the investigation to be completed within 14 days.
Mm.
After they have that information, like, I guess the board needs to deliberate on it. President Michael Drake is part of that conversation, too.
We talked about typing
the report. They did not promise a decision within 14 days. They promised to have the investigation completed within 14 days.
So I want to go to the Browns preseason game on Friday night. Do you think I can go?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to announce anything on a Friday, because I think. I know that typically things like everyone talks about Friday news dump. Like,
yeah,
this would be a multiple page report, probably paired with some kind of press conference.
Right.
I can't imagine they'd do that on a Friday night.
Okay.
So I think you'd be okay.
Okay, so we're thinking maybe Monday. Start thinking about. Possibility that's when a decision and a report, because they're going to release the report and the decision at the same time.
Obviously. I would think.
So they have to figure out what they're doing in regards to Urban Meyer and Gene Smith. I wrote a thing on the weekend about how this has turned into a soap opera. We got into some back and forth with Jeff Snook on his Facebook page, saying he had sources saying that Tom Herman was the person who leaked this to Brett McMurphy. Brett McMurphy and Tom Herman and Tom Herman's wife all denied that. It took us really far away from like how this all started and what the main point was. If you guys want to read that, go read that at cleveland.com/OSU. That's where all the stuff has been. Bill has stuff there. Tim's been keeping up with the news of the team. Like that's where everything is. I don't want to rehash on this. I know sometimes some of you guys joke now when something happens. It's like, emergency podcast. Like, we're not always going to do an emergency podcast, but we're going to cover it.
Yep.
We do write. We are writers first. If we were podcasters first, we would be in trouble. If this was the best thing we did, like, we went to college for 4 years and, like, we just went to podcasting class all day.
That's going to be a thing now, right? Yeah.
So people go to school for 4 years to talk into a cell phone professionally.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, Professor, when you put the cell phone on the fold-up dinner tray, which way should the cell phone face? When we were in California on a vacation, we went to Stanford's campus just to walk around. And there was a sign. I mean, it was summer, no classes were going on, but there was a sign on one of the doors, like in the communications building, about a podcasting class.
Oh, really?
For real. At Stanford.
I wonder if that's part of the curriculum or if that's like a separate thing that you do like in the evening after all your classes are over.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a 5-minute class. How to hit the on button.
How to press record and then you talk.
And then you talk. You know what I thought to myself immediately when I saw that, though? I want to be a podcasting professor.
So we should take the class because we're terrible.
You should teach the class, not. We're not going to rehash the whole thing. One thing I do want to say is one thing, and this was like Zach Smith's lawyer said this. Kyle Rowland from the Toledo Blade had a story yesterday about that Zach Smith had Monday. A 2013 OVI. They use weird initials.
I never heard of OVI until I moved to Ohio. It's always DUI where I come
from. Yeah. Isn't normal DUI? That's not the...
I guess instead of driving, they want to make it sound classier for some reason called operating a vehicle under the influence.
It's like your chauffeur was driving you. And operating a vehicle, what else is it?
I mean,
because that applies like if you're Amish and you're like steering the horse.
I don't know.
Well, you're not driving the horse, you're operating the horse.
Well, if the horse and buggy ends up in the ditch... And then
if the horse is drunk, then what?
Yeah, no, that's the thing.
You're not going to jail for a drunken horse.
Well, the horse might go to jail.
Yeah.
So the thing, I know, listen, we haven't talked to Zach Smith's lawyer. I don't want to be indelicate here. And I don't mean to be a bad reporter. But I have no interest in talking to Zach Smith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it.
We know what we need to know from him.
I get it. It's fine. But his lawyer has said that, like, Zach feels like he wants his job back. And can I say, I get it that this is complicated. I am not here for should Zach Smith get his job back discussion.
Yeah. Well, I think that ship may have sailed anyway with the report about his OVI and the fact that he said he didn't tell Urban Meyer about it.
Yeah.
Ohio State employees must report criminal charges or criminal convictions to the university was within 3 days or five days of it happening. And I guess like telling Urban Meyer and filling out the official Ohio State form are two different things, but it sounds like he didn't do that.
Yeah.
So I think whatever very small, non-existent chance he had of getting his job back went away with that admission.
Yeah. So I don't, you know, I just don't want to go down that road. It's not about, but I didn't think he did a good job the last couple of years as the coach anyway. And he's admitted to like it to volatile, aggressive situations with his wife where he's put his hands on her. And I understand there's a different threshold between, you know, going, having stuff with the cops. And does your employer want to be associated with you anymore? Have you upheld your contract duties for the morals clause and all that stuff? So like, I just don't, let's not play that. I'm not here for
that. I never entertained that.
That I thought was weird. And the rest of it is like just gonna keep. Like, do you think this back and forth, Landis, like, are we out of the soap opera part of this, or is that gonna continue?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you did a good job of saying this in your column the other day. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think it doesn't matter to Ohio State's investigation how Brett McMurphy came in possession of this information. It doesn't matter really, I think, anymore what's written on Facebook about this stuff. Like, I think it's a fun way to try to distract yourself from what's important. But what's important is Ohio State's investigation into how allegations against an employee were handled. So, like, where the information came from, I don't think matters.
Yeah.
And what the family members on either side of this say, I think, definitely shows that it's a confusing situation and might shed some light on some of the police procedure in this. But I also don't think that matters to Ohio State's investigation.
Right.
It's just a matter of, we're not talking, Ohio State is not investigating whether or not a crime occurred. Ohio State is investigating whether or not university officials properly handled information regarding a former employee.
Right. And the thing that's hard is, I know people want to get caught up in the coverage of it and how things, what people have written and how.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Beelick.
Uncle Tim, happy birthday to you. So, Tim, go ahead and blow out the candles before my basement burns down. We want to. Oh, is it a tea?
Yeah, it's a tea.
It's a crustless tea.
It's all center slices. This is not a cake. It is a Donato's pizza that my wife ordered.
Thank you, guys.
She took all the crust off, and it is all. You combine two pizzas worth of center slices to make a tea. So there are like 9 center slices for Tim Bielek to just feast on. And it should make him the happiest boy in Ohio now that he's 30.
Yeah, it feels weird being 30. I just turned 30 Monday for those of you that saw, and I tweeted out an office clip that applies now since I'm 30 years old. But this is it's been a fun weekend, I guess, you know, a chance to kind of unwind a little bit before the season gets started. So anybody that's wishing me happy birthday, thank you very much. And we get to do this again with Bill in a couple months.
I'm good.
Do you want crust on your birthday pizza when it comes?
If you can go to Philadelphia and get my favorite pizza and somehow bring that to Columbus, I'll take it.
Would you settle for just like a Philadelphia loaf of bread?
Yeah.
Candles and a Philadelphia loaf of bread.
Yeah, bread would be good too. Yeah.
My wife and my daughter were singing. That was one of the 10 most emotional moments ever on Buckeye Talk.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat that. So by the way, I was informed on Twitter within 10 minutes of each other that it was Tim's birthday on Monday, and it was also the 75th birthday of the guy who founded Donato's, which is just one of those things that makes you realize there is a higher power in the universe that Tim Bielek and the founder of Donato's share a birthday.
Yeah, you guys can enjoy no crust together.
Landis is verklempt.
Well, I've also found out I've got the same birthday as people like DeMarcus Cousins, Alfred Hitchcock, UFC fighter Demetrius Johnson.
What a day!
Is that The Rock?
No, it's not The Rock, along with famous soccer player Alan Shearer.
Oh, I love that guy.
Annie Oakley, too.
Annie Oakley.
Oh.
She also loved the center slice. Is there anything else we need to... So that, happy birthday, Tim. We'll talk about you being 30
later
on.
We were wrong on the price of the investigation.
What did we postulate?
$1.6 million.
Well, but that was...
Like that was just for the lead investigator and the typist.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll get the typist fees eventually.
Yes.
But we were sort of having fun with that, with like, oh, what if the person in charge of the investigation was paid for sleeping? They're paying $500,000. Yeah. Like, they're not. Yeah. Like, we were like, ha, 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 $1.6 million. It's like, well, like, we're not. It's not like they're paying $35,000 for this thing. It's $500,000. Zach Smith worked on two-year contracts that paid him like $325,000 to $340,000. They're paying almost as much to investigate why he wasn't fired as if they just would have fired him and paid off his whole contract. If they had if he had signed his contract and the next day they would have been like, yeah, we're done. Here's $680,000. Go away. That would have been like more efficient than what has happened.
Yeah.
So he's not getting his job back.
He is not. $1,600 an hour, I think, is what the hourly rate was capped at for the law firm doing the investigating.
For real? I'm trying to think of what we said we would pay her per hour. I think we said $5,000 per hour.
Yeah, maybe.
So $500,000 for 2 weeks? Not a bad 2 weeks worth of pay. That's like several years worth of
payment.
It's better than us. We should have him on the podcast. We should have him on the podcast.
Could buy a house afterward.
The law firm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could buy a house for that money.
I'm sure they'd do that. I don't know. So they're paying $500,000. They're continuing the investigation. I think it's good that they're talking to Courtney and Zach Smith.
Yeah, I do too.
I think people, again, there's just, I think some people are writing along the way, and we all have to write along the way because we want to keep you guys informed. Some people are opining along the way, and there was like a 12-hour period where people were like, oh, they haven't talked to Zach Smith yet. This is an outrage. And then it's like, oh, they're talking to him now.
Yeah.
So people just are getting like preemptively outraged about things. And I know people want to talk a lot about the coverage of it. I will say this. We are writing about and talking about whatever happens, whether that reflects poorly on Ohio State, whether that reflects like well on Ohio State, like, hey, they're taking it seriously and they're doing a thorough job, or like, hey, Urban Meyer did do what he was supposed to do. And really, what is the employer of a husband supposed to do in this situation? I think you could ask yourself, and I would say it to Brett McMurphy's face and Jeff Snook's face. If Jeff Snook had Brett McMurphy's information, would Jeff Snook write what Brett McMurphy has written? And if Brett McMurphy had Jeff Snook's information, would Brett McMurphy write what Jeff Snook has written? And if your conclusion on that is no, I'm just asking the question. I'm going to tell you that I think probably not. I think both of them are dug in on a side, and we're trying to not be dug in on a side, and we would write any of it. If Courtney Smith had talked to us, we would have written, I don't know that we would have written exactly what Brett McMurphy wrote. We would have written about it though. Yes. We would have taken the information in and decided what to do, and we wouldn't have buried it or something. We would have written it. If the people who are Jeff Snook's sources on the Urban Meyer side of things on this, if they were talking to us, we would write that too. We'd write all of it. We would write all of it in a balanced portrayal of what's happening. We might not write every word of everything. We'd double check. We'd make sure the sources were sourced properly. I think we're at a point, in my opinion, where the two sides are writing from an angle at the moment. And I think that in general, in an ideal world, that's not the best thing for everybody, but I think that's where we are.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Like, we're just, I have backed off from, like, offering what I think will be the resolution, because I don't know anymore. So, short of that, I don't know what else to say.
I mean, my comments kind of would echo pretty much exactly what you wrote on Saturday, Doug, because I was kind of following the same thing, and I'm like sitting there, I'm like, this isn't even an investigation anymore. It's a TV, it's a reality show almost.
It is, and that's not the best thing for anybody involved.
That's what happens when something like this gets out into the social media world, and it could be eventually be how some of these investigation things, you know, pan out forever. I mean, it's the evolution of the world of social media, the fact that almost everybody has a Twitter or an Instagram or a Facebook account and can follow these all in real time, voice their own opinions, and then you just have all these factions form.
Yeah.
When really the only thing that matters is going to be, you know, one sentence in a report that says Urban Meyer either keeps or loses his job.
And I will say, and listen, the one thing about this, I get frustrated with media coverage a lot. A lot of things that when I end up like sort of commenting on things, it might sound like I'm commenting on what fans are saying or thinking, and fans can do whatever they want. You pay money. You're the customer. The customer is always right. You have no responsibility to anybody but yourself. So think what you want. That's not what the media gets to do. We're in the business. You're our customers. We're here to serve you. So I get frustrated with media coverage. I don't get frustrated with fans. I just think there are some fans out there who might regret some of the things they're tweeting or saying, through this, because I know that people, their passions get inflamed and they might go on the attack on people. You can do whatever you want. I think a lot of Ohio State fans are just kind of wanting this to be over and wanting some kind of fair and truthful resolution, whatever that is. We don't know what that's going to look like exactly, but there certainly are some people who are, I think, saying and doing some things that maybe 6 months from now they wish they wouldn't have done.
Yeah. Yeah. Which the is good news about Twitter is, though, you don't have to put your name or your face on it.
That's true. You know what you got to put your face on, though? I'm trying to, like, segue. All right. Set the timer. Can you give me, like, a 45-second timer?
I can do that. Give me one moment.
Here's my problem. I'm going to be honest about this. I get too excited about ShopOhioState.com because they have so much good stuff. That's why last time when we did a commercial, I did a 4-minute commercial. And you guys can attest to this. Do I have stuff written down?
No.
No. I'm just talking about ShopOhioState.com because I think it's good for you guys to at least check it out. Right now, ShopOhioState.com, the Ohio State University Barnes & Noble bookstore, right there on High Street. Drove past it the other day. Big, beautiful glass front. 27 seconds. Really good stuff. Go in the store and experience it. If you can't do that, go to shopohiostate.com right now. 25% off your first purchase of Spirit gear. You sign up, you get their emails, you know when they have new stuff. Get 25% off one item with your school logo just for signing up. That's at shopohiostate.com. It's so good, I can't stop talking about them. Check them out and see for yourself.
That's pretty good.
58?
I was slow. 57.
Is that fair? That's fair.
Yeah, I think a minute's good. Just like not half the podcast.
Not half the podcast. Mm-hmm. Talking about shopohiostate.com. All right. Andrew, what do you think so far?
I want to die.
He what? You might have a future in this, my friend.
Oh, that was a great answer.
That's how I feel most of the time doing this podcast. AP poll is coming out the 20th. And Bill Landis, what year is this of voting for you, Bill Landis?
Third? Yeah.
Are you getting better or worse as a voter?
Probably better because I'm caring less. Does that make sense?
That is some life advice right there, too. The less you care, the better you get.
Yeah.
Which is why this podcast is so good.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you want to tell us about your ballot? Who'd you vote 22nd?
The defending national champion, Central Florida Knights.
Oh, wow, that's a ridiculous vote. I can't believe you did that. I'm just getting you prepped for reactions. They have Mackenzie Milton, and they have Scott Frost is a great coach for Central Florida.
He's gone.
Oh.
And Heupel, what's his name?
Josh Heupel.
Josh Heupel? Yeah, that's a new coach.
Okay. Good luck to them.
Yeah.
So
that was like I don't know. Like they have a lot of their. So the things I looked at, I have notes. The things I looked at when I was doing this, and they're just making stuff up. And I don't really know what the right way to do it. Some people like ranked 1 to 25, and they think the season's going to end, which I think is a fine way to do it. But I also kind of skew things a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to do that. And then otherwise, I don't really know what you're doing. I'm just like, here are 25 teams I think are good, and then I have no issue rearranging them wildly after the first week after they start playing games.
Okay.
But I looked at, I did look at the coaches poll, even though it's mostly SIDs and not coaches, but I think that's decent information to have. I looked at the S&P projections for the preseason. I looked at Phil Steele's power poll. I looked at returning production for each team.
Mm.
And I looked at then the Phil Steele position rankings, offensive and defensive lines. And where they're ranked.
Okay.
Because I think that's important. So, but Central Florida has 74% of its production back.
Wow.
That's a high number, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a high number or not.
Do you know who leads the country in returning production?
Ohio State?
No.
Michigan State.
Michigan State. 92%.
What's Ohio State?
62%. Which I think is a decently high number for a program like Ohio State that turns over a lot.
Okay. Well, it's because they lost, because JT's running, and JT's like,
yeah.
They have all their receivers back, and they have their running backs back.
They lost, a bunch of defensive linemen. They lost a couple linebackers.
Oh, that's not just offensive stats?
No, it's passing, it's all offensive stats, and it's like tackles and interceptions.
Okay. Are their offensive production, they probably are higher.
I think Ohio State leads the country in returning receiver production.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't go in it. I just did overall.
Okay.
And use that to...
How many Big Ten teams in the top 25?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Any others in the top ten besides, I'm assuming, Ohio State's obviously there?
I have Wisconsin number 8, and I have Penn State number 6.
Where's Michigan?
13. Like, I think that Michigan is actually the second best team in the Big Ten, but I feel like it would be premature to rank them as such in the top 25 poll. Cause, like, I don't know. I think in some level, I don't know. Not that they care about what my ballot says, but I think you have to earn it a little bit. I don't think you can just throw a team at the top because you think they're going to be good.
I agree with that.
Based off kind of nothing.
Based off, like, I think Shea Patterson is awesome, although he's never taken a Big Ten snap.
So I have Michigan State behind Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, and Michigan State. So Michigan State's 12, Michigan's 13.
Okay. Where do you have Ohio State?
3.
Cocked your head like a dog.
Because I thought I had them 4. Oh. But I have them at 3. I had them at 2. I actually considered ranking them 1.
Yeah.
But I didn't, mostly because I didn't feel like being called a homer. And I don't think many people would do that. But I think there's an argument to rank them 1.
Do you think they'll get first place votes?
Yeah, I think they might get a couple. Well, I don't know, because of this stuff that's happening. Yeah. And so, like, to give people a peek inside, the ballot was due on Monday. There is a window that I think runs until Wednesday to alter that. If news about Urban Meyer comes out before then, I don't anticipate it will. So,
oh, they told you that you can alter.
Yeah, they've done that in the past. There's a little bit of a window, but I think like the hard deadline for the AP is Wednesday. So if there's a result with Urban Meyer from Wednesday on, it will not be reflected in the AP poll. So I'm going to imagine that some people hedged a little bit in voting on Ohio State. And so maybe they won't get any first place votes, but maybe they would have otherwise.
Okay. I think that makes sense. Who's 2?
Clemson. And the returning production number was I initially had Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, and I flip-flopped Clemson and Ohio State. Clemson has 74% of its production back. All the other numbers are sort of comparable with Ohio State. Clemson's defensive line is ranked number 1. Ohio State's defensive line is ranked number 2. Ohio State's offensive line is ranked a little better. But everything else is kind of equal. And the returning production it's 74% to 62%. I think that's substantial. So I flip them.
Okay.
But it's splitting hairs a little bit. I don't know. I'm always very nervous about being called a homer when I do this preseason poll.
Is it because in your heart you are a homer and you're trying to disguise that fact?
You know
me,
born and bred in Ohio.
Yes.
Grew up watching the Buckeyes.
Absolutely.
Square pizza slices.
Square pizza slices. Awful bread.
Yeah. No, I think it's... I mean, listen, in the end, you vote on who you think the best teams are and who you think deserves it. If you think Ohio State's the best team in the country, at the end of the season, you're going to vote Ohio State the best team in the country.
Once the games happen, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like...
Right now, it's all speculation and guessing.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out, I'm kind of peeking over the ballot right now. I don't mind. Do you mind me saying who your number four is?
Go ahead.
Georgia. In my mind, I would put a big gap between four and five. In my mind, I would skip five and go straight to six, because that's how I think it's those four teams and then everybody else this year in college football.
Who do you have five?
Washington, which is like a team I don't really believe in all that much, but I did, like, if you
they have the noodle arm of the West.
They do, but
it's a great Northwest. Again,
it's another team that has a lot back in the conference that I don't think is very good.
Yeah.
And I also try not to like take schedule and like who you play that much into account when doing preseason, because I'm not projecting like what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't really care about that all that much. But Washington's got a lot back too. 75% of its production, it's top 10 in all those metrics I was looking at. A team that was in a playoff 2 years ago, I think, has solidified itself as a top 10 program. So Tim's right. I think it's kind of a crapshoot after you get outside of the top four.
Okay.
I think there's an argument for Oklahoma to be five, for Penn State to be five, for like Auburn or Wisconsin to be five.
People are excited about Auburn. Where do you have Oklahoma?
Seven. Because I'm not sure about the quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this could be Kyler Murray's only season before he goes and joins the Oakland Athletics.
Will be his only season.
I still remember watching the baseball draft because I had nothing better to do that night. I watched the draft, and Oakland saw Kyler Murray 10th. I'm like, what are they doing? They know he's going to play football.
It's a stipulation, I believe, in his contract that he can play 1 year of college and then go play professional baseball. And I can't imagine he'll turn down that money.
Right. Jonathan Hankins is going to work out for the Browns, former Buckeye.
Nice.
I think he's still a good player, so he could help them.
So the Browns have officially gone from having no Buckeyes to signing one in this offseason, drafting another, and they could potentially bring in a third. And I'm sure there's probably people in Cleveland that are pretty happy. And
yeah, that's a thing that people like to write and talk about.
Anything else you want to know about my AP poll?
Who's number one?
Alabama.
Alabama.
Upstart program in the South with an up-and-coming head coach.
Oh. Who's making we've talked about that, the Nick Saban media tour this offseason. I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what that's about.
Well, I don't know what it's about either.
I know. All I know is twice he's blamed the media for his quarterback controversy. On two separate occasions, it's our fault that there's a quarterback controversy in Tuscaloosa.
To be fair, Tim, you have pumped up Tua pretty hard. Yeah. I do feel like
we all know how much your voice resonates.
Well, I've been to Hawaii a couple times, so I'm allowed to be Team Tua.
That's Hawaiiist. So, black stripes, how many black stripes? Do we go with the poll talk?
I'm good if you are. I got Joe Burrow in the poll.
Nice. Did you just rank like number 24 just as Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Tim, how many people have their black stripes off?
We have got six players on scholarship that have gotten their stripe off. I can go in reverse chronological order for this. Starting all the way back in April with Tommy Tokiai, only the second player in the Urban Meyer era to lose his black stripe in the spring, Austin Mack being the first.
That's a defensive tackle. Give positions, too.
All right. Linebacker Dallas Gant was the second. He lost his on August 8th. The next day, another linebacker, Taraja Mitchell, got his off. And then August 11th, we had a pair in defensive tackle Teron Vincent and running back Brian Sneed. And on Monday, we had our sixth and our first receiver, Chris Olave, who was, I believe, the last of the four receivers to commit as the first of the four to lose his stripe. So that's what we have up to this point as of about 11:55 on Tuesday.
What does that tell us? As people who have watched 15 minutes of practice and haven't talked to anybody, what do the six black stripe removals tell us?
I don't know. I don't put too much stock. Like, Austin Mack lost his black stripe in the spring and then, like, didn't play the following fall.
He's like 12 career catches or something.
Yeah.
Everybody loves him.
I do think it's interesting that Brian Sneed got his off before Master Teague.
Oh, yeah.
And then Master Teague was here in the spring. Brian Sneed wasn't. And
we have a Brian Sneed question coming up.
We do. Brian Sneed was ranked higher, like significantly higher, so I guess it's not that surprising. But Master Teague just got talked about a lot because he put up crazy numbers, and he was here first, and he's got a cool name. Brian Sneed's really good. And I think Ohio State knew that when he was going to come here. He was just nearly totally silent after he committed and was committed for like 2 years. No one ever heard a word from him.
Yep.
But he's good. And this tells me that he is in line to get like those extra garbage time carries at the end of a game.
Even though Master Teague played in the spring game and got people excited about garbage time carries.
Yeah.
Togiai matters. There's opportunity. I think there's depth at defensive tackle, but it's uncertain depth. And people have been in on Togiai for a while. I don't think Gant and Mitchell matter that much for right now.
Special teams, but
for special, but yeah. We already have enough to sort out at linebacker. Vincent again, defensive tackle. I mean, maybe there's some chance to get some two deep snaps there. And Snead and Olave, we'll talk about it more with Brian Snead, but it's good. I mean, it's an indication of who came ready, of who works hard, of who listens to the coaches, of who gains the respect of their teammates. That matters for later on. I mean, it is an early indication. Some guys, though, it's like maybe if you don't get your black stripe off as soon as you hope, maybe that kicks you in the butt a little bit and turns you around. And some guys, I mean, I always remember Devin Bogard was one of the very first guys to get his black stripe off. Might have been the first guy to get his black stripe off in the entire era.
If I remember right from that ESPN documentary, I believe he was the first one.
Great kid. Great guy. Terrible injuries. Like, never got to be who he could be. But that showed you, Devin Bogard showed people when Urban Meyer got here, Devin Bogard were serious about his business. So these guys are serious about their business. And it's also, you know what? There's motivational tactics here. Urban Meyer, I don't know that it's necessarily like these are the six guys who absolutely deserve it the most. It's like sometimes maybe there's a guy who's been great, but you don't want to give it to him yet.
Yeah.
Some guys maybe are struggling and they have a great day and you give it to them as like a, hey, look, this is what happens when you really push it, that kind of thing. So people love the black stripes. The Browns loved it so much that Hugh Jackson copied it,
and reversed it.
They have a black stripe that they wear actually on their heads. Not even, no, what is it? What's the reverse?
The reverse is that you everyone got their stripe removed, and then you earn the stripe when you make the 53-man roster. By the way, that crap doesn't work in the NFL.
No, they had an X-Acto knife though on Hard Knocks, and they were taking the stripes off.
Yeah,
and then I saw somebody tweet that was like, "I'm a former equipment guy. I'm sure that like the equipment guys were ticked off about that because it was a lot of extra work for nothing."
Yeah, because in training camp there's like 100 helmets.
They're millionaires.
Yeah, they don't care.
That's right. I'm not a millionaire, but I'm a man. I'm 40-ish, and I would not care what you put on my helmet.
I know you wanted me to go back and look at the trend of last year to see what we could learn. So do you want me to go through that again?
The black stripe removals of a year ago?
Yes.
And how it translated into on-field performance in 2017? Sure.
All right, I'll go through six, and I'll give you a seventh because that's pretty interesting. First was J.K. Dobbins.
He played a little bit.
Yep.
Just a little bit. Then Isaiah Pryor, who we expect is the favorite to start at safety. Chase Young. Then Jeffrey Okuda.
Good, good.
Haskell Garrett.
Yep.
Pete Warner.
Yep.
And then Thayer Munford. Those are the first seven. And Warner and Munford, I believe, were two of the lower-ranked guys in that 2017 class. And they're two of the guys we've talked about the most in the last couple weeks.
That is, and it's not about necessarily what it indicates for their freshman year, but here we are in year two. Dobbins already did it in year one. Young, huge. Okuda is going to be huge. Munford's starting. Warner's in the mix. Like, yeah, it does. I mean, it's an indication. It is an indication.
Yeah, so don't be surprised if next year when all these receivers leave, if Chris Olave doesn't work himself into the mix, for example.
Yep. I think that's a fair point to take away. They're going to have a lot of changes on the defense. Like Tre'Mon Jones is going to leave, and Nick Bosa is going to leave, and they're going to have some opportunities there. So you want to keep watching like Togiai, and you like what?
I like Olave.
Do you really?
He's Devin Smith-ish.
Really?
Yeah. And track guy, long arms, and not huge, but can jump well. And yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities between those two.
I thought about it when he got his stripe off that in a way it follows the pattern we've seen of guys that just play their best in their senior seasons. Maybe they fly under the radar recruiting wise, but they go in to college having played their best football. And we saw that with guys like Thayer Munford and Malik Harrison, guys who weren't highly thought of, but just, you know, played their best at the end of their high school careers. And those guys are now major factors on this football team. So Olave could be a guy that put in that mix, just put kind of push him off to the side for another year.
Yep.
All right, Tim.
Yes.
What do we have for reviews?
All right.
Landis, I've gotten a sneak peek at the reviews for this week.
Yep.
Very interesting.
Oh, really? All right,
we've got two 5 stars and two 2 stars.
Ooh.
Two 2 stars.
Nice.
Landis so, perked up for that.
I love the 2 stars.
So we got 2 number 1 prospects and then 2 backup kickers.
All right. We are the Backup Kickers of podcast. What do you got,
Do we want to start with the good or do we want to go bad, good, bad?
No, let's go with the bad first and do the 5 stars.
Okay. This first one, I'll go with, we'll go bad, good, bad. Starting with 2 off topic by Slim Said. This is a 2 star. He says, Bill and Doug are passionate and knowledgeable about Ohio State, but only half the pod is about Ohio State.
True.
The other half is about irrelevant stuff like food. Stay on topic, people.
No.
Mm. Yeah. Might not be the podcast that that guy's looking for, which is fine.
Yeah. Is that the 2 star?
Yeah, that's one of the 2 stars. I'll go to the 5.
Or let me ask this quickly, though. Let me ask this quickly. Would it make sense for us to change the entire way we do the podcast based on that review? I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I think it's something we should consider.
All right. Well, starting next week, we'll only do football.
I disagree. I think the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
I think I listened to the last thing that I heard about us is what I go by. All right, what's the next thing?
Okay, we'll go with the 5 from... I guarantee this is not my parents, by Tim's mom and dad.
Aww.
This was not them. I guarantee this. It said, you guys are the dot to my eye in Ohio.
Oh.
By the way, my mom somehow still thinks I have the Uncle Tim's Radio Show Twitter account. This person says, love the podcast and how unbiased you guys are. Sometimes I could put on my Ohio State goggles, but you guys make sure I take them off and see every point of view. Thanks for getting me through the off season and ready for another one. I do have a recommendation. Would you guys be willing to do a 3 to 5 minute section each podcast where you talk about the Bucks in the NFL? It's a little difficult to keep up with all of them every Sunday, but if you guys went off and talked about players who played and their stats at a quick glance, that would be incredible. OH.
Not a bad suggestion. Tim does an NFL roundup already.
Yes, and I will have one again this Thursday, kind of recapping how guys did in the first week of the preseason. We won't have Browns. We won't have stuff on with Denzel Warren, Carlos Hyde. You can read Mary Kay Cabin, Dan Lobby, our Browns coverage team up there. They're all over those guys. But for all the other 31 teams, I got you covered.
So we can do that.
And yeah, we can
do like that. Yeah, I think we can do that. That's not a bad suggestion. All right, next one.
And this next one was the one I shared with you. This is the 2 star from Sweet Potato Pie 9.
Good name.
Terrible takes, questionable journalism.
Oof. Bring it.
I'm giving it an extra star because it's been an entertaining podcast over the years, even if I didn't always agree with the opinions. The last 2 weeks of sensationalism followed by half-hearted soft dial backs has been too much. Unsub today. There's plenty of good Buckeye podcasts out there that don't have to tear down the team to get listens.
Mm. Mm.
I recommend Buckeye Extra from the Dispatch.
And then,
not familiar.
And then after you listen to that 10-minute podcast, you can come back and listen to ours. I think I had a back and forth with that guy on Twitter.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because somebody sent something very similar, and I asked politely, like, well, what are you talking about? And they didn't want to have that conversation. Yeah. So, like, whatever. That person's wrong, but that's fine.
But, to be fair... He does have sweet potato in his sign-on name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good.
I like sweet potatoes, so I'm going to have to agree with him. I'm going to have to agree with him. Sweet potatoes. All right. Is that it?
The Twitter handle was
different. Do we want the other 5-star?
Yeah.
All right. From Buckeye19 exclamation mark, he says, 2 guys and a mute. This is our 5-star.
This is the 5.
That's a good name for our
podcast. I have been listening to you guys from the beginning and love the podcast. You each play a ridiculous role that makes the podcast enjoyable. Doug is the overly excited guy who loves to hear his own voice.
Fair.
Bill can be a little too cool for school with the way he acts.
No one has ever accused me of that before.
Almost.
Thank you.
And Tim is the mute who only speaks when he is either agreeing for the umpteenth time or feels like he won't get laughed at by the other first take.
Mm.
Again, I'm not going to disagree for the sake of disagreeing. That's why we have the gong.
That's true.
The insight into the Buckeyes is always great, and I love the genuine camaraderie you portray with each other. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. All right, that was a lot of reviews. We appreciate the reviews. Here's what we're going to do.
Questionable journalism.
Go Birds.
Easy.
We have 2 $10 gift cards to Rusty Bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give them away to you guys. We'll mail them to you. Here's what you have to do to get qualified to get the gift card. And we'll just pick the best two stories about this. You have to tweet at us and tell us the person that, tell us about how you introduced someone else to Buckeye Talk. That you got us another listener. And even if it didn't stick, that you tried. That you are a loyal listener and you got someone who had never experienced Buckeye Talk for on board and what they thought of it. And then tweet us the story or make up the story. We're not going to verify it because
questionable we have journalism.
Questionable journalism. So tweet that at us and we'll pick the two best stories and we'll mail you a Rusty Bucket gift card. And if you're doing the math at home, that means you and the person that you turned on to the podcast can share an app on Buckeye Talk.
Yeah. Rusty Bucket's a little pricey. Part of an app.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's not going to cover tax and tip. You got to bring your own money for that at the very least.
Yeah.
And drinks. Get water.
Two sodas or pops, whatever you people call them.
Yeah. So let's try that. I also thought Rusty Bucket would be a good name for a strip club.
Put it on the list.
So let's do that. So tweet at Buckeye Talk Pod. You have to tweet at Buckeye Talk Pod with your story. And if your friend's on Twitter that you introduced, tag them in there and say, this is the story of how I introduced blank to Buckeye Talk Pod and it ruined our friendship because they hated it so much. That's what we're looking for. We'll send out these Rusty Bucket gift cards. Questions. Let's get to questions. We're getting to questions a little early this week because we care what you think.
Question on Twitter from Jordan Steele at the Jordan Steele. He says, are you surprised that Ohio State has yet to lose a commitment from either the 2009 or 2020 recruiting classes during this Jerry Springer episode that is the Ohio State offseason? That was a funny question. No, I'm not surprised. I've been trying to talk to some people, and I think understandably they don't want to talk all that much. I think some of the people might have talked to them. Urban Meyer is still the head coach, so I don't know why you'd decommit. I'm sure there are people coming at some of Ohio State's commits trying to flip them, which would be good recruiting on their part. But no, I'm not surprised that no one has left yet because Urban Meyer is still the head coach, and as long as he remains the head coach, I think they'll be fine. If Urban Meyer is not the head coach, then I think you'll see a lot of movement in Ohio State's recruiting class. But I think the coaching staff has done a good job of being in communication with these guys. Mark Pantoni, I think, has done a good job of saying the right things, and obviously they're optimistic that Urban's going to return, and I think everyone is sort of in that mindset until they're told to not be. So Urban's a coach, so all these guys stuck on board, and I think that makes sense.
I admit I'm a little surprised. Not a lot, but a little bit, because I always feel like, you know, with recruiting, especially at the level of Ohio State, that guys are always going to want stability, and if you have a couple weeks where you have questions about stability, there may be one guy that decides, okay, I'm going to step back, I'm going to decommit. Doesn't mean I'm finished with the school, but I just want to open things up a little bit. I think that alone has me surprised. What doesn't have me surprised is really kind of the chatter around Ohio State recruiting has stopped. Part of it is because all these players are in their high school fall camps, but this also has kind of put Ohio State's recruiting on pause. It's more about maintaining what you have, I think, until you figure out whether or not Urban Meyer is coming back before you can really start to go after anybody. You have to hold on to what you got.
They have, haven't there been some kids who were thinking about, had been scheduled to announce something in this period who have pulled back on announcements?
Yeah, but I think part of that is a reflection of what's happening, but I think a part of that too is just sort of normal changes in their recruitment. Like Peyton Powell, who's a kid from Permian High School in Odessa, Texas, got an offer from Oklahoma, and that was an important offer, and I think that caused some pause. Marcus Washington is a receiver from St. Louis who was going back and forth between Mizzou and Ohio State. Maybe he wouldn't have pushed back under normal circumstances, but I don't think it's only about that, about what's happening here.
But partly.
Partly. I think you'd be naive to say it wasn't partly about that.
Yeah. But I do think it doesn't make sense for anyone to, like, bail until you know what the deal is.
Yeah.
And they're early in the calendar. I was trying to look up this. In 2011, Jim Tressel resigns on Memorial Day. Guys have already signed in February, but they haven't reported yet. They're supposed to report in mid-June. They lost one guy, I think, Ewan Price, which I think is just Juan, right? Isn't that how it's supposed to be pronounced?
I don't know.
He went to Pitt instead of Ohio State. He wound up having a pretty good career at Pitt. But I remember that fall, that was like Luke Fickell, that was the time, and we've written about this, like the Fickell Five or whatever, I think. The guys who committed to Ohio State, like in this period of instability, I think Josh Perry was one of them. I think I know Pat Elflein was one of them. Like they ended up getting some really good Ohio players, like in that period of guys who want to come to Ohio State, like no matter what, no matter who the coach is. So, you know, I do think there are going to be kids in Ohio that are going to feel that way. Regardless, you know, depending how this works out, obviously there's going to be ramifications in a million different ways to the final decision. But in the end, there are kids in Ohio who are always going to want to be part of Ohio State. If there are big time out of state kids and there is, there's either a change at Ohio State or there's not a change, but somehow there's something that sticks to Ohio State as a result of this, I do think a result may be that you see Ohio State pull back and hit Ohio, that the next class has more Ohio kids than the last couple classes have had. If all of a sudden, if you're a five-star that Ohio State's recruiting and there's just whatever.
Yeah.
And I think you know what I mean. And it's like, you know what? Everybody's offering me. I like Ohio State, but I like these other schools too. And at the moment, they don't have a whatever. I think that's possible. And the result is maybe a couple more Ohio three-stars.
I think they're going to be okay as long as Urban's coach. I think the recruiting will continue as it has the last few years. I think it's a valid point, but I just don't. I think the message to recruits has been that Ohio State has done everything right, and if the investigation reveals that, then I think they'll be okay. All right. I think there'll be some more noise to sort through for some of these kids.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would drastically alter Ohio State's recruiting classes.
And we also have to kind of see how wide receiver shakes out with Brian Hartline and now stepping as the interim receivers coach.
Yeah, that's a different thing. How, a new recruiter.
How they restructure that. So I mean, my thought process when it comes to Ohio State recruiting, don't expect to commit in the near future. Just the thing you have to hope for if you're an Ohio State fan is they don't lose anybody regardless of what happens, and just be okay with that for now.
I think I disagree. I think it's business as usual as long as Urban's the head coach. I don't see it changing. I think they can get a commit the week after Urban comes back, if he comes back. I don't see anything drastic happening. I think if Urban comes back, there will be I think like some national media outrage that has to be expected, and we'll certainly write about it and what it means for Ohio State's future. But I don't think it's going to have a negative impact whatsoever on the program moving forward.
I think I disagree with that. I think there will be. I don't know that they come out of this like scot-free. Like, you know what? Urban and Gene did what they were supposed to do. Like, nobody's losing their jobs. We're all going to learn from it. We're going to be better. But I don't know that some kid in Florida or Georgia or somewhere, a top 50 kid who could go anywhere, Their mom or dad, it's not the kids, the mom it's or dad just might be like, you know what? I just don't know. I'm just a little, why don't we go here? Why don't we go to Florida State? Why don't we go to Georgia? I just think not to a huge degree.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised if, and that's not right or wrong. Because we're talking about how perception matters in this, and the main thing is how the Board of Trustees and Michael Drake and the people making the decisions here, how they think the perception fits in. But you can't judge. These are just individual families. You get one shot at this. When you're a family and you're an 18-year-old kid who has an opportunity like this, you get one shot. So you really want to be as close to 100% certain as possible. And I just think maybe for some families, that this has happened at Ohio State will make it more difficult for them to be 100% certain about Ohio State. And then if you are 100% certain about another top 10 program, then you go to Clemson. I just think that might happen with two or three kids. Not
yeah.
A huge deal.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm not going to say that's impossible by any means, but I think one, two, or three kids that happening, I don't know. That doesn't alter Ohio State's recruiting plan for me.
No, I don't think, but I think it might mean they finish fifth in the 2019 class instead of second.
Yeah, I guess it's possible.
But we can, I mean, that's this thing. Again, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. It's just, I'll be curious. Once this is settled, then like that's one of the next steps, right?
Yeah,
that's one of the next things to think about, to report on. What is the fallout of how people feel about Ohio State?
Because yeah,
people are allowed to feel whatever they want to feel.
Matt Bishop sent in an email to BuckeyeTalkPod@gmail.com. He says, what's your best guess as to what Urban Meyer has been doing the last couple of weeks while he hasn't been able to contact the team? Is he even allowed to recruit? No, he's not allowed to do business on behalf of Ohio State. That's talk to recruits, talk to players, coaches, go to the building, go on campus. Golfing? I don't know. I don't know. What do you think he's been doing?
That's your story, by the way. You broke that story that a lot of people have followed. So it's funny.
He's not golfing. That was a joke.
I reference this all the time because I thought it was so interesting. When I asked him last year about what kind of coach he is, what he likes, and he said, I like the motivational big picture stuff even better than I like the X and O stuff. Some coaches hate that motivational stuff like that. I really like it. So I wonder if he's like doing some X and O stuff.
Just drawing stuff up because he has time to kill?
Yeah. Because like he can sit in a room. He can sit on his couch and look on his laptop and watch plays. And maybe like come out of this with like, you know what? Like I've got some things I want to, I feel like my impression of, tell me if you think this is wrong. My impression the last couple years of how things operate with Ohio State is Urban's an offensive guy. He basically gives the defense to Greg Schiano or Chris Ash or Luke Fickell or the guys that he trusts there. Larry Johnson, Kerry Combs. He gives them the defense and he might say things like, I mean, he said things like, I want to play press man. I hired a coach who's an expert in that. That's what we're doing. It's not your decision. Don't come to me and say, you know, I really think we need to play more off coverage and play too deep. We're not doing that. Okay. But beyond that, no nitty gritty. His only possible nitty-gritty is on the offense, but my impression has been it's the Ohio State offense. He said it a million times, it's the Urban Meyer offense. Whoever he hires, that doesn't change who they are at their foundation. But I just didn't get a huge impression that he was in the nitty-gritty. I feel like he always had veto power, and sometimes you hear stuff about, oh, Urban, you know, stuck his hand in the cookie jar too much, and the offensive coordinators were trying to do this, and he was, you know, well, he's the head coach. So it's like, oh, the boss wouldn't let the underlings do what the underlings wanted to do. It's like, yeah, I mean, like, that's going to happen. He's not totally turning it over, but my impression hasn't been that Urban Meyer is saying, run this play. I think Urban Meyer says, I want to attack teams like this. I want to feature these guys.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he does say, let's get the ball to whoever.
But he doesn't draw, he doesn't say, let's pair this route with this route. And hey, we gave him this look. Let's throw in this wrinkle. That's what he pays those guys to do, right? So I wonder if Urban's now working on some wrinkles. Cause there was a time when like he was really good at that. Now, the one thing is he was never a coordinator. He went from a receivers coach to a head coach. So he was never in a position where, like, you don't have any administrative oversight stuff. You only have draw-up play stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, when he was a young head coach, he's going to be very involved in that. But he always had other stuff to do. So he doesn't really have that necessarily in him. But I'm wondering if he is the head coach, and when this is maybe in a place where he'll take questions about it, whatever, it's like maybe that would be something that comes out of this.
Yeah, I could see that. Because I do think as much as he clearly likes the non-Nexus and O stuff, I think a little more than anything else. Remember the look in his eye when you were asking about Braxton Miller? Was it before the 2015 season at Big Ten Media Day? You were asking him about like how you're going to use this guy at HVAC now?
Yeah.
And he like looked like how a kid looks on Christmas morning when he gets a new toy that he always wanted?
Yep.
Yeah, I think some of that could be going on. Now that he has nothing really other to think about.
Right.
I shouldn't say that. He clearly has a lot to think about because his future at the moment still seems a little uncertain, but more free time, I guess, than he normally would have. And I'd imagine he'd like to occupy that free time with football.
Right. Also, maybe Fortnite.
Yeah.
Maybe he's beaten you at Fortnite a couple times and you don't know it.
Can you imagine? I don't have my own Fortnite name, but I use my daughter's things. One of them is called I Like Warm Hugs. So if you have shot I Like Warm Hugs in the head, that was either me or my daughter. So congratulations. I hope you feel good about yourself. You know what I feel good about? Minuteman tickets. Minuteman tickets. They're our ticket guys. Let them be your ticket guys. National selection, local feel. They care about the community. They care about the things you care about. You can trust them. Sometimes you're out looking for tickets to games. You can get tickets a lot of places. But do you have that pit in your stomach? Are you worried? I don't know. Like, can I trust this site? Minuteman Tickets, you can trust them. What am I looking at? I'm looking, do you want to make a road trip? Landis, how long does it take to drive from Ohio to the Dallas area?
15 hours.
Not bad, right?
No.
Not a bad drive. Do you want to go see Ohio State TCU in the third week of the season? I'm looking at Minuteman Tickets right now. All over the place. Pairs of tickets, two to four tickets, all kinds of options in the $100 range. $107 each, $110 each. Do you want to have an experience? Do you want to do something new, something with your friends and your family you'll talk about forever? Think about going to Ohio State TCU. Landis will tell you how to get there. Mm-hmm. Minuteman Tickets will get you the tickets that you can trust. Go see that game. Have experiences. When you have moments in life when you think, gosh, that's kind of inconvenient, but should we do it? Do it. It's either going to be awesome and you'll love it and you'll talk about it forever, or it'll blow up in your face and you'll talk about it forever. You have to do things to create stories. Minuteman Tickets can help you make stories in your life. Minuteman Tickets, find them on the web, minutemantickets.com. They're our ticket guys. Make them your ticket guys. That was longer.
It was good, though. Passionate.
Passionate.
Yeah.
I'm very big on the whenever you have indecision and something seems inconvenient and it would be easier to stay home, you got to go. Right? You're a go guy. Are you a go guy?
Yeah.
Are you a go guy, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah, you got to go. If you have thought it, and I know some of you have thought, man, should I go to Ohio State TCU? Go. If you thought it, you should already be in the car. I know airline tickets can be expensive, right? Mm-hmm. Get a couple friends, split the driving, just take off like Friday, take off half a day, get in the car, and go. You can get a seat. It's a crazy stadium. They have a huge video board there. It's going to be a good game. Here's a good question. Where did you rank TCU in your AP poll preseason? Horned Frogs. They're purple.
I ranked TCU number 18.
Do you want to go see Ohio State play the 18th best team in the country?
Yep.
You do. That could be a top 10 matchup by the time we get there. Who's TCU play before Ohio State? Anybody good?
Nobody.
They're not going to lose like Oklahoma lost to Houston 2 years ago.
They play Southern.
Southern what?
Southern University.
Okay.
Like the school that plays Grambling. It's an FCS school.
Okay.
And then SMU.
SMU.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I was when I was doing the schedule breakdown, like, TCU doesn't leave the state of Texas until, like, the end of October.
Okay.
Must be nice.
They're just going to Kansas.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
By the way, I just got a tweet from Donato's just wished me a happy birthday.
God. Center cut. All right, next question.
Brock Doctor sent in a tweet. He said, I saw Tate Martell refer to Corey Curtis as Beef Truck. What would your radio nicknames be if you had to choose? Mine would be Beef Truck. Because it doesn't get better than that.
It doesn't get better than that. We know what Tim's would be.
Uncle Tim?
Uncle Tim!
Yeah. By the way, shout out to Kyle Brandenburg for sending us a fantastic mock-up for an Uncle Tim's Radio Show t-shirt.
Oh, we'll tweet it out at Buckeye Talk Pod. Make sure you're subscribed to that Twitter account. We will tweet out the Uncle Tim's Radio Show t-shirt that maybe could exist somewhere.
Can I maybe make a suggestion? On the back, I almost want
you can't.
Unenthusiastic
He's the
woo
artist.
At the end of it.
Unenthusiastic woo?
Quoted to Uncle Tim.
I mean, to be fair, you already have a whole show named after you.
God.
What would mine be?
Give someone a little bit of power.
Tim, what's my radio name?
I don't know. I need Bill needs to come up because I have no idea.
Frenchie is like too obvious.
It is. It is a lot obvious. Les Mis is a lot obvious.
Les Mis, yeah.
I would think it would be something about how I have a huge ego and talk.
I'm trying to think like Angry Dads.
Yeah.
Angry Dad.
Angry Dad is not bad.
That was a Simpsons comic that Bart made of Homer. Angry Dad. It was a webcomic. It was a funny episode.
Oh, I have a thing to bring up. Can I bring up a thing, by the way? Yeah, I'm going to do a poll question on this.
Nice.
Speaking of Angry Dad, what is your opinion of being at a store and when you check out, they want you to donate to charity by rounding up your bill? Have you experienced this?
Yeah, yeah. I usually do it. Yeah.
Okay, why? Why do you do it?
Because it's just a couple of cents.
Because you care about the world?
No, but it's just like, it's not, I don't feel inconvenienced by an extra 63 cents.
Tim, do you do it?
Not always, but you know, when you do, you feel good about yourself that like you're helping somebody out, even if it's just like a meager amount of money, because that meager amount of money, I think, sometimes makes a difference.
No!
When I get asked, would you like to make a donation? And then I just said, I usually say no. When I get asked specifically, do you want to round up? I usually say yes.
So the other day, my daughter and I are shopping. We have a whole thing. We have a coupon. You have to spend 50 to save 20. We tried to get over the $50 amount. One thing was on clearance. Clearance doesn't count. All right, fine. We have to go. So we already have a whole thing where like we've kind of gotten messed up. Then we come back and the woman asks us if we'd like to round up for charity. And I said, how about the store rounds down? If my bill is $51.12 and you want my extra 88 cents, how about you make my bill 51 even and you give 12 cents to the charity? Why is it on me? Do you think my only charity work in the world occurs at the checkout of stores? And then she said, well, actually, all of us are working very hard. Do you think, you know what? I was going to try to give money to help people in need, but I didn't know how to do it. So I thought to myself, the best place to do it is at a store where my daughter just bought some tank top that for 40 bucks, and now I'm going to give you extra. I don't want to do it. And then, but how about this? They give you the guilt. She said, oh, come on. Now, if someone,
that's not okay.
If they all come on you, what do you do to an all come on?
Give them the finger.
Yes! Oh. On behalf of charity.
Yeah.
What would you do to an all come on?
Agree with them.
I'd be like,
no.
Maybe.
No, wait, no, it would probably work on you. That's why I get all come on, because an all come on works on people like you.
I get victimized. I get victimized by guilt trip sometimes.
Yeah, exactly, because it works. Don't guilt trip me, because I'm not choosing to do charity at the checkout line of a mid-tier teenage tank top store. It's offensive. And the implication that I'm cheap or I don't care about people, that you have to all come on me for my 88 cents, cram your 88 cents, and you're a giant corporation, I'm just one man. You give the money. Yeah. I'm not giving it. I'm going to give it my way, not your way, stupid mid-tier tank top store.
For your spare change. There's an app, I forget what it's called, but you can like it takes your spare change and puts it into like an account, like a digital coin jar.
Yeah, it was on Shark Tank. I think they shut it down.
Really?
Really?
You know what I have instead of a digital coin jar?
An actual coin jar.
An actual coin jar.
Love a coin jar. Although you get kind of screwed by Coinstar when you go to because banks don't really do it anymore. I tried to go to a bank to get my change counted, and they gave me a bunch of sleeves and told me I had to roll it up myself and then take it back to the bank.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't roll?
No, I don't roll.
Oh, no. We roll.
I don't roll.
You don't ever have a family roll night?
I don't have a family.
You and Leah and the dog sit around on the floor and spread out all your pennies and put them in rolls?
No.
Oh, it's a lovely evening.
I just go to Coinstar and pay the 10%.
No! Next question.
Okay, we got two questions along these lines. Our main man, Cynical Negro, tweeted at us. He said, I know you can only go on the facts with how much of Urban staying or going as head coach is about how Ohio State feels about how the media, and he said sorry in parentheses, will cover Urban only doing the minimum required by the school. He says, I can imagine people really hammering him and the school if they kept him. And then we got an email from Alex Murray, who said, with all the drama of the last few days during this whole situation, turning it into a public soap opera, is it possible, maybe even likely, that regardless of the committee's findings, Ohio State fires Gene Smith and Urban without cause, pays the money, whatever would be owed, and cuts all ties to separate themselves from this whole thing? I was on that train, I think, at the beginning of this, that the PR, the perception of things would matter. I've since changed my mind. So I think no. I don't think that they would make a decision to get rid of people based solely on what they think the perception of it might be. I think if everyone is found to have operated correctly as it as stated in their contract and by OSU's employment guidelines, I think everybody stays. And if someone didn't adhere to those guidelines, then they go. But I don't see Ohio State getting rid of anybody without cause here.
Because here's how that would go down, right? Is this how this would have to go down? Our report finds that Gene Smith and Urban Meyer conducted themselves appropriately, did what they were required to do as Ohio State employees, but they're fired anyway.
Yeah. Like some people would applaud that. Because there have been things about written about how doing what's required does not necessarily rise to doing the right thing.
Yes.
Which I would disagree with. At least now it's premature. But I don't think that decision would happen. That outcome would happen. But if it did, people would be like, yeah, Ohio State, like, way to go. But I think that would be stupid.
So I think, because like Tressel, and again, a lot of these questions reflect the fact that Jim Tressel in the end was fired in large part because of media coverage, but also an accumulation of little things. This has been pointed out. We've talked about it before. His initial thing, the initial tattoos, trophies for tattoos and whatever, that led to a suspension for Jim Tressel. It did not lead to him losing his job. It was the accumulation of things. There was a secondary thing there that as more things were found out about Ohio State, they were trying to please the NCAA and try to avoid a bowl ban that they got anyway by saying, look, we fired the coach. Don't ban us from anything. Mm. That's not in play here for Ohio State. But there wasn't an investigation with Jim Tressel. They didn't, I don't know that you can launch an investigatory group to get to the heart of the matter and the facts involved and then make a decision based on something other than the facts.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to present a case, a reasonable, logical case for why you're making the decision you're making, no matter what it is. People fired, people keeping their jobs, people suspended. I think Ohio State needs to be transparent and clear and reasonable. I think there's an answer in there that you can give that doesn't involve firing anybody. So I would be surprised. Yes, it matters, but I think I agree with you that I think that's – I'm less on the bad PR mind, do them in no matter what now than I would have been earlier. And they're going to take a hit there.
Yeah, for sure.
There are just going to be, and that's fine. I mean, and I think you can have that opinion, and there are is in large part can be valid, but I don't think it's going to go down that way either.
Question for Doug, specifically from another Russian bot on Twitter. His question was: your daughter introduces you to her new boyfriend. It's a player on the current roster. Who do you hope it is, and why is it DeMario McCall?
We do love DeMario McCall.
Yeah.
Let me try to think. I like Chase Young. I haven't talked to him a ton. I think Chase Young has like a fun like mix of like swagger and humble at the same time. I feel like I don't know some of these guys. I don't like. I feel like I could have given you a list last year. It's like Tyquan Lewis.
Yeah.
And Billy Price and Sam Hubbard. And like a lot of those older guys who are gone, I think Terry McLaurin seems like an excellent guy. I like Johnny Dixon and Paris Campbell a lot. I always lump them together because they're such good friends. I'm probably going to say Terry McLaurin. I think Terry McLaurin is really... He comes across as really smart, really grounded, and just like a pleasant young man. That if he showed up and rang my doorbell, I would be happy to send my daughter off with Terry McLaurin. But there's more than one guy.
I would have picked whoever you think the highest NFL draft pick is going to be. Because maybe some of that sweet, sweet cash comes your way.
I don't know. That's kind of like, yeah, how much does the father-in-law get? maybe they'd take me on a cruise.
Would it be enough to retire on Nick Bosa?
Get a boat
Nick Bosa second contract money?
Yeah.
whatever 5% of whatever he makes is.
Do you give, when you get married, are you going to give 5% of your salary to your father-in-law?
No, but I'm saying, I'm sure through proxy you could get some of that money.
Lose $100 bill every now and then.
Yeah.
Might fall your way. Chase Richardson said he's considering moving to Columbus after law school. How do you rate Columbus among the places you've lived throughout your lives?
Best malls and chain restaurants I've ever lived around. High recommendation.
High recommendation for me, but I would also suggest Philadelphia.
Oh, interesting.
Shocker.
For me, it's only ever been to Cleveland and Columbus. I'd pick Columbus. I feel like there's more life in the city. You know, it's just more active, I feel like.
It's cleaner.
Yeah, although my fiance says Cleveland's the greatest city in the world.
I love Cleveland. I lived in Cleveland for a year and I really enjoyed it. It reminded me of Philly, which I compare everything to. But I was also just in Chicago over the weekend, and like I realize whenever I leave Columbus, like how much I like neighborhoods. Like the different ethnic neighborhoods you come into, the different types of foods you can come into when you just cross the street and you're in a different neighborhood, different vibe, the people. I enjoy that. I don't think you get that very much in Columbus. Like, there are different sections of Columbus, but I think in general the people are kind of the same, and the food is kind of the same. Cleveland is different than that. Philly is different than that. Chicago. Most major U.S. cities are different than that. So that's what I liked about Cleveland. But Columbus is just like a nicer city. It's nicer than Philadelphia. Like, it's like there's not garbage blown by you on the street when you're walking through Columbus.
Yeah.
Chase move here. They can come on the podcast.
Yeah.
How's it compared to Palmyra, Pennsylvania?
Better pizza in Palmyra, which matters.
Go Cougars. let's see. Two questions along these same lines, sort of Big Ten questions. I guess they're a little different. Jay Alexander's asks, what team in the Big Ten has potential to be a dark horse good team and surprise the typical top of the crop in the conference? He says his pick is Nebraska. And then there was another question, sort of similar. Let me find it. Where'd it go? Maybe I lost it. Somebody asked, who's the next team to win the Big Ten that's not the four teams in the East and Wisconsin?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a really good question.
Somebody asked it.
I got it. Andrew_Fenlon11. Andrew Fenlon.
Kevin Federline.
Okay, so those are actually two different questions, related but different. I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, so let's do the Jay Alexander's ones first. Do we think there's a dark horse in the Big Ten this year? I don't think there is.
So I guess I think you need to have like a player or two that can elevate you, I think, right? If you're going to be a real dark horse, and it would help like if that's a quarterback. I think I have two candidates. I don't know if one's a dark horse and one definitely is. Like, is Northwestern a dark horse?
Well, Northwestern's my answer to the other question.
Okay, so Northwestern, like Wisconsin is such an overwhelming favorite in the West. They were a unanimous pick in our poll. Wisconsin is viewed as a national title contender. I think almost anybody in the West other than Wisconsin would probably fit this category. So I think Northwestern could beat Wisconsin. I think they have Clayton Thorson. Mm-hmm. They have a guy who led the Big Ten in sacks last year. I think their talent base has grown over the years. And then I'll let Tim talk about the other one that I think probably might have some legitimacy to it. Because I don't know who their quarterback's going to be, but they have more than one option, right?
Yeah.
I was actually going to say Iowa, believe it or not.
Okay.
Because I do believe, you know, Nate Stanley has that, like, his lows are low, but his highs are really high, as we saw from Ohio State. If he can hit that incredible high of 5 touchdowns, you know, they can do a lot of damage. Noah Fant, one of the best tight ends in the country, if not the best tight end in the country. They got good defensive line led by Anthony Nelson. They do lose Josh Jackson at corner, which is a massive loss. But would you ever want to be a team in the Big Ten West that has to go into Kinnick every year, knowing that almost every year something weird happens at Kinnick?
But they have to, and that's the thing, is the difference. If you're going to be a dark horse, you've got to do it more than once.
Yeah.
You can't have like lay an egg, awesome win, average, and about, like, you got to do it week after week. But they've done it before. I mean, they did it a couple years ago.
They went to the Big Ten title game in 15, right?
Yeah. Plus, I think they've had 2 years of kind of like middle of the road. So I think now's the time for that, you know, step up to that 10 win threshold.
Kirk's got to get an extra year on that contract, baby.
I will say, your loyalties, Tim, are quickly divided. I can't believe I set you up to talk about your boy, and you dropped some ferrets on us.
I have to change it up a little bit. I mean, I like Purdue, and I'm fascinated when Ohio State goes there this year just to kind of see what Jeff Brohm has in store. That is going to fascinate me as much as any non-Penn State-Michigan game on the schedule is what happens with that game.
Do you think, how many Purdue people were on your top 50 Big Ten players list? Were they not very represented? I guess the point is, you know, if you look it up if you want to, but like, does Purdue have the talent to truly like win the West?
No.
Okay. Iowa has NFL guys on that roster. They always do. I don't know like if Jeff Brohm can like dial it up enough week after week that they make plays to win games and the West gets muddled and all of a sudden there's a bunch of teams that are 7-2 or 6-3 and like Purdue's pulled off two or three upsets and they're in there. I don't know like if that's like is it going to be a great year for Purdue if they go 5-4 in the Big Ten? And it's like 5-4 in the Big Ten is not anywhere close. That's not going to win the West. So right. Let's not talk about it.
But I mean, for Purdue, a team that hadn't gotten to a bowl game in 4 years, I think, you know, any winning record would be good for them, especially with this recruiting class they have coming up is absolutely loaded by Purdue standards.
Okay, so we're thinking more Purdue long term, not Purdue this year.
I don't really see anybody this year. I don't even really see like, Iowa. If it's anybody, I think it's Northwestern. And the question he says Nebraska, and I think I've made my thoughts on Scott Frost known. I think he's really good, and he's going to make Nebraska good, but
it's hard to do it in year one.
This year, yeah. With likely a true freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
And I have massive questions about their defense. Give him a year, and then get back to me on Scott Frost.
Yeah. All right, so who's your dark horse pick for this year in the Big Ten? And it's not the parameters, not the 40s, teams are Wisconsin. Who's your dark horse pick out of the for this year?
Northwestern.
I'll go Northwestern.
No! I'm going in you. You just gave a case for Iowa. Why would you go Northwestern? You didn't even say one word about Northwestern.
Fine, I'll pick Iowa. This could be that 1 year where they make the jump.
Who?
Iowa.
Okay.
Illinois.
Plus, I believe, I could be wrong, I believe Wisconsin has to go to Iowa this year.
Where's the Northwestern-Wisconsin game? I'm going to say Northwestern, too.
I think so, because I thought I remember Wisconsin playing both Iowa and Northwestern home, and yes, I'm right. They are at Iowa, they also are at Michigan, at Northwestern, and at Penn State.
I swear, what can I bet? I said, guaranteed two losses for Wisconsin this year. Guaranteed. There is no way they're winning all four of those games. There is no way they're winning all four of those games. I'm going to come up with something
I would agree.
To put my money where my mouth is on that.
I'll have to save this for my Big Ten round, my Big Ten power rankings, why the West is more wide open than we think it is.
Northwestern's got a good schedule.
Schedule matters.
If Northwestern does something this year, it'll be pretty impressive.
They've been building up to it slowly, and it wouldn't surprise me. Definitely wouldn't surprise me if they're in Indianapolis.
Who's Northwestern's not conference?
Duke, Akron, and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, okay.
I think the Notre Dame game is at Wrigley, isn't it?
Okay. All right. So the next part of the question is, like, who's the next program other than the Big Four in the East and Wisconsin to win a Big Ten title?
Yeah. My answer to that is also Northwestern. I think Pat Fitzgerald is the best coach in the West. I say that very confidently, and I think he might be, like, the third best coach in the Big Ten. Like, I think I'd take Urban over him. I'd take Urban and Franklin and D'Antonio over him. I'm not so sure I'd take Harbaugh over him at the moment. So maybe I think Pat Fitzgerald's the fourth best coach in the Big Ten. And I think their new facility matters in recruiting. Mm-hmm. And I think he's done a good job of recruiting to that school already. And they have, after Clayton Thorson, they have former five-star prospect Hunter Johnson waiting to play quarterback. I think, like, long term, probably Nebraska has more sustainability than Northwestern. But I think in the next 2 or 3 years, Northwestern can be a legitimate candidate to win the West.
Like when Hunter Johnson is like in his second year as a starter in 2020.
Yeah, and like Nebraska is clearly building, and Scott Frost has it heading in the right direction, but it's just not quite there yet. Yeah, I think Northwestern could be the best team in the West in 2 years.
Tim?
I say Nebraska. I always want to look at ceilings, and I think the ceiling for Nebraska under Scott Frost is massive. I mean, he took an 0-12 UCF team and had them undefeated 2 years later as the only undefeated team in college football. Took 2 seasons to do that.
In the American Athletic Conference.
Yes, but that is...
Now you're going to sit down. Now you're on the talking down your boy.
No, I think he's really good, but like, let's not talk about making UCF 12-0 like he won the national championship. Like, he was in the sixth best conference in the country.
Yeah, but let's be fair.
They have t-shirts that say national champion.
The American Conference is by far the best of the group of five conferences.
Yeah, but that's not saying much either.
Yeah.
What's the drop-off after that? What's next? The MAC? Sun Belt?
Maybe the Mountain West?
I can't believe you just said Sun Belt with that tone of voice. What an insult.
Oh, the Sun Belt.
Who's in the Sun Belt? Troy?
Troy. Troy beat LSU.
All right, so you had Nebraska.
Yeah, I know Northwestern has Hunter Johnson, but I think long-term, I think Nebraska's ceiling is so much higher than Northwestern's. I know Northwestern has the new facility. I just always question, you know, the ceiling of that program with the high academic standards of Northwestern. That's going to close the door. Well, I mean, that should be a point.
I was class president and band president.
That should be a point of pride for you Northwestern alums, that those high academic standards are there. But they kind of they limit their recruiting pool a little bit because of that. Nebraska will have the Scott Frost brand right now. I think that's why they can recruit better, because people know who Scott Frost is. They know they have an exciting offense. And I think if they're going to add more talent, I think, over the next year. I'm pretty into the Adrian Martinez hype. Watched the spring game a little bit, and he looked pretty good to me. Give him a year or two, and if Scott Frost can fix that defense, they got a chance to really do something. And I think their ceiling could potentially be higher than Wisconsin's.
I think I say Nebraska, too. I think there's been some really good coverage from the people who cover Nebraska, digging in on what Scott Frost means, of what Nebraska has lost in the last decade. It really has been a cluster that since Bo Pelini, I mean, even Bo Pelini, I think was good, but he was like the Earl Bruce of Nebraska football. And then they were like, that wasn't good enough anymore. And so they replaced him. And then the guy they replaced him with, like, wasn't the right guy either. And they cut Mike Riley pretty quickly. But they've just, you know, the Bill Callahan stuff, like, you get a vibe with Scott Frost. It feels like people are excited about Nebraska football again. I think they're going to recruit in a different way. I think they're going to run a different kind of offense. And I think there is some question about those programs not in huge recruiting bases and population bases, right? I mean, it was the things that Tom Osborne did in the 90s, the world has changed and the nation has changed. And we've written about that a lot of times. I think if anybody can get Nebraska back to Nebraska, it's Scott Frost. And we'll find out in the next 2 years of whether, yes, they were a sleeping giant. They still are Nebraska, and they just never had the guy who could get them over the top. Or if Nebraska just can never be Nebraska again. Like that time, there was a time when Army was good at football, and Army's not ever going to be Army again. And so I think it's possible that that applies to a program in a state without big population and recruiting bases. I think that's possible. But I think we're going to find out, and I think there's a chance that it's not true, that he'll get Nebraska back. And I think I would say, you know, the thing, when is this? Like, when is somebody other than the top four? Because, again, the whole thing and why I'm so wound up about people talking about Wisconsin as a national title contender, it's, are they going to win the Big Ten championship game against the best team from the East?
Yeah.
Are you really – I get it. You fought through your season and you had a good win here or there. Are you going to go to the championship game and beat – a program that is stacked with 4 years worth of top 10 recruiting classes, which is what the case is with Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State, basically. It's going to continue to be.
Yep.
Or you're going to go and D'Antonio has slogged through and beaten Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State, and now you're going to go and like out D'Antonio. It is a tall – I know it's just one game.
No, but I think you're
– But it is a tall order. So it's an interesting question. I don't know when it's going to be. If you told me, well, okay, you're picking your team, what year is somebody other than the Big Five going to win the Big Ten? I don't know. It might be 15 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like never?
I mean, it's like
it's just a question. I think like you have to be able to recruit. And I don't know where those programs, because even Wisconsin doesn't recruit on that level,
right?
So I don't know. Wisconsin has not won a Big Ten title since we've gone to East West, right?
They're there every year, but
they haven't won the championship game, have they?
Right, because they've lost to Ohio State twice.
Yeah, I'm even a little hesitant to throw them in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Big Ten changed right at the low point.
Yeah.
For Ohio State. And so it was like they went, and now we're going to have a championship game. And the first year Ohio State was in chaos, and the second year they were banned. And so Wisconsin won the first two, and now they've made three of the last – One, two. They've made three of the last five, but they haven't won. They've lost two. Ohio State, Penn State, and Ohio State. But they won the first two because they beat Michigan State and they beat Nebraska when Wisconsin was the third best team in its division. But Ohio State and Penn State were both banned, and then they went and hung 70 on Nebraska when Nebraska was ranked in the top 15.
Yeah.
So.
Someone named Ice on Twitter sent in a bunch of questions. I'll ask one of them. If you could go to a nice steak dinner with three current or alum Ohio State players, who would you go to dinner with? I think it's gonna find a good balance, right?
Yeah.
I think you want someone who's funny, who's gonna be cracking jokes at the table. Like Tyvis Powell, I think, would be a good one.
Yep.
I think like Malcolm Jenkins would be a good one because I like talking to people who make me smarter.
Yep.
And then like who's in the middle of that? I might pick Tate Martell because I bet that guy's got crazy stories. No. Jeff Heuermann.
Ah! I'd go to that dinner.
He's got crazier stories.
I'd go to that dinner. I think Chris Spielman's a really interesting guy.
Yeah.
I think Chris Spielman is like a really he's really smart about football, but I think he's had like a very impactful life off the field. I think he would be really interesting. I'm 100% in agreement on Malcolm Jenkins, again, one of my favorite guys that I've covered here. And it's hard to get away from Tyvis because Tyvis is hilarious. And Tyvis, by the way, is coming up as the lead guest on our next Cleveland Sports Tonight, whenever that show finally comes out. It'll be our second episode. Tyvis Powell, lead guest. Make sure you find it on our YouTube channel. I'll tweet it out when it comes out. We're going to have Tyvis Powell and a boomerang guy. So it's like I'm copying your answers, but I mean, there are just certain guys that stand out. There have been a lot of, I've done this for 13 years. There have been a lot of interesting, interesting, good, smart guys that we've covered over the years. But Malcolm Jenkins, there's just something about Malcolm Jenkins, and I feel like it was there when he played at Ohio State that what Malcolm Jenkins, and it's not about whether you agree or disagree with him like politically, it's about somebody who is trying to use football to make his community better in the best way he sees fit. And I think I am 0% surprised that Malcolm Jenkins is that guy. Tim, who you got?
I'm going to go Herb Street.
Okay.
Because I want a guy who knows football and has got some good opinions about it. Malcolm Jenkins, because like you said, he's got a lot of opinions both within and without football. Kind of have that spectrum. And I do need a little humor, so I'm going to throw in B.B. Landers.
Nice, of course. Plus you get pie for dessert.
I would like to apologize to Cameron Johnston for not including him on my list.
Wow. Yeah. I'm not sure that's going to be enough. And the thing is, you probably could get Cameron Johnston to go to dinner with you.
Maybe. He plays for the Eagles now. We can go get a cheesesteak.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you're a guy from Philly who's an Australian at heart, and he's an Australian who now is in Philly. You're basically the same person.
Yeah. We punt exactly the same, too.
Yep. Plus, on Thursday, I think Cam Johnston had like something like an 81-yard punt. It got nullified, but yeah. I put in breakfast because how often do you see an 81-yard punt?
You know who has the NFL record for longest punt?
Gary Apremian.
No, isn't it a former Eagles quarterback Randall Cunningham?
Oh, for real? Yeah.
He had the longest punt.
The ball and it rolled forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like on third down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the question? Oh, DeLillo had a question I thought was good. Doug DeLillo. Who scores the first touchdown against Oregon State and how do they do it?
I love questions like this.
Mine is Mike Weber runs in from the 1 yard line.
I swear I was about to say that. Now I got to change my answer. I think Luke Farrell catches a 2 yard touchdown pass.
Hmm. I don't think if Ohio State is within 5 yards of the end zone, they're throwing the ball.
It's Oregon State. They're going
to
try.
Tate Martell is going to hand the ball to Mike Weber. Touchdown.
No, Mike Weber's going to hand the ball to Tate Martell.
Ooh.
They've pumped out a couple Dwayne Haskins, Austin Mack highlights, right?
Yep.
During this, and everyone, Dwayne Haskins and Austin Mack have tweeted about this. They're roommates, they're friends.
Get a cool nickname.
The 7-Eleven connection. You get a free Slurpee for every touchdown they score.
Ooh.
I'll call like something like we saw with the Baker Mayfield Antonio Callaway touchdown in the Browns' first preseason game. Mm-hmm. Michael Thomas had some plays like that at Ohio State, and it's just like you gotta, if you have a quarterback that can put it on your fingertips and a guy who can make a play and can pull away from people. I know we're gonna, once we start talking about football again, there's a lot of like big down the field passing stuff that everyone's going to talk about. I think they're going to have some things that happen with just timing in the passing game and making throws and windows in the passing game. So I'll call that it's like a 40 to 60 yard Austin Mack touchdown where Dwayne Haskins hits him in stride and like he beats the safety and he's gone.
So I say Weber, you say Mack, you say Farrell.
I'm going with a little wild card.
It's going to be a defensive touchdown.
Yeah.
I think that might be it. We got a lot of email questions, but a lot of them are like hypotheticals about what might happen with Urban Meyer and Gene Smith.
Mm.
I think we've covered a lot of it, and some of it is just like I don't think roads we should really go down at the moment.
Any food questions or people off the food?
I don't think so. I did see something that Chick-fil-A is expanding its test market for spicy chicken strips to Phoenix.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not to Columbus yet, but that could be coming. What would you think about Chick-fil-A spicy chicken strips? I mean, first off, what do you guys think of spicy chicken?
All in.
Okay, so spicy chicken strips, all in for that?
From Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, would you get sauce with your spicy chicken, or would you just let the spicy chicken stand on its own?
Ranch.
To calm the spicy?
Mm-hmm.
It's good balance.
I like letting the spicy stand on its own. Andrew's like, I cannot believe they get paid for this. Andrew, we're not even at 2 hours yet. We usually go a healthy 2 hours or above. If we stop now, this would be the shortest Buckeye talk in a while.
It needs to end. I'm appalled. Very questionable journalism.
Ooh.
Are you sure? Have you dropped a review on us before that we don't know about?
Yeah, are you pie in the sky?
He's sweet potato. He's sitting over there with his phone secretly typing in a 1-star review that we don't even know about. I'm appalled. Just put that on the t-shirt.
You will get 1-star reviews until I get my t-shirt.
I'm appalled. All right, listen. Here's what we have coming up. We think, we don't know, we might get to interview some people with some players coming up. We hope, we don't know. We're recording this on Tuesday. I think Bill Landis has made a good point. Maybe Monday is your target date for some resolution to the Urban Meyer situation.
I don't want to say that's like as a hard thing because I don't want to get people's hopes up, but In my head right now, that's the day I'm looking at.
I don't know that you necessarily need to be like hanging around Thursday and Friday, just because it's, again, if they're still interviewing important people in this on a Tuesday, are they going to be able to spin, take all that in and then get a resolution and a report and everything together like by Friday? I don't know if that's realistic. When it ends, prepare for how many stories? What's the over-under on adversity stories once this is over? Words with adversity in the headline. Here, make sure every story that you see from once a resolution comes on this situation, between then and the start of the season, every time you see a headline with the word adversity in it as it relates to Ohio State, tweet it at Buckeye Talk Pod, and we will get a running list of adversity stories.
Also, any synonym for adversity.
Yeah.
Or stories of how, now that Urban Meyer's back, he's going to run up the score on everybody.
Yes.
I think that it might actually happen, though.
Or blessing in disguise.
Yeah, we got to ask a blessing in disguise question.
We did. We got to ask a blessing in disguise question. Yeah. What is the blessing in disguise about having a situation that has captivated the national sports media and has resulted in the paid administrative leave of your national championship coach? What's the blessing in disguise about that? Is there a blessing in disguise? Did someone ask what is the blessing and what disguise is it wearing? Here's what it's wearing.
I stopped at their disguise.
A big fake mustache and a trench coat. And it's sneaking around the bushes at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. There's no blessing in disguise.
News. Alan Taylor, and you'll be able to read this on Cleveland.com by the time you hear this. Alan Taylor, who is the editor of the Dominion Post and a columnist covering West Virginia and the Big 12, tweets that former West Virginia quarterback, what's his name?
Chris Chugunov,
Chugunov, will be transferring to Ohio State. Fourth quarterback, scholarship quarterback on the roster.
Well, just let me just go naturally, because we like to get right to the heart of the matter. What are the chances that Chris Chugunov starts the opener for Ohio State?
Pretty good. Let's see. He's a 6'1", 203-pound pro-style prospect from Skillman, New Jersey. He played in one game last year.
Experience.
Threw a touchdown pass. 10 of 16, 81 yards and a touchdown. Played in three games in 2016. He's a former three-star prospect. So I think he's a starter against Oregon State.
Okay. Well, we'll get up to date on Chris Chugunov. We don't really mean that. That's being sarcastic.
No, but I did wonder if they would go down that road. And, like, I was told no. But it's not surprising to see him do it.
So tell me the quarterback. So the quarterback room now is
Dwayne Haskins, Tate Martell, Matthew Baldwin, Beef Truck, Corey Curtis, this guy, and I think there's a freshman too from Cincinnati who I don't know his name.
Corey Curtis is a walk-on, so yeah. this guy.
Yeah, this guy is he's the fourth quarterback.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe like a safeguard against, you know, losing your top two. Maybe you don't want to play Matt Baldwin because of his knee.
Yeah, this guy's played in a college football game before. Which he becomes one of two quarterbacks on the roster that has played in a college football game before. So that's something, because Tate Martell and Matthew Baldwin haven't done that.
That's true.
All right, that's it for Buckeye Talk. This is early for us. This is what it feels like. All you haters on the two-hour podcast, this is what an hour and 43-minute podcast feels like. Again, go
His
to
Twitter handle's at Chris Chugs.
Nice. Chris Chugs is pretty close to Beef Truck when it comes to nicknames. If we had a guy named Chris Chugs on this podcast, people would like that. Go to cleveland.com/OSU. Find the information about our show at Hofbra House. Be one of the 100-plus people that are going to show up there on August 27th from 7 to 9 p.m. It's free. It's better if you sign up ahead of time. If you forget, come anyway. Hofbra House in Columbus, 7 to 9 p.m., August 27th on that Monday. We will have a lot to talk about. It will be the first ever live Buckeye Talk. Follow us on Twitter. Send your reviews to iTunes, Two stars today. Listen, we can handle it. We can handle the real talk. We appreciate it. We want all your views, good and bad, mostly good. What was the other thing I was going to say? Email. Where do you email? What's the email?
BuckeyeTalkPod@gmail.com. Somebody made a comment that I don't check the email enough. I check it a lot. Like I said, there's just a lot of questions that I think we covered the answers to in there. And also, like, I don't want to sound like a jerk. We're probably never going to get to every question.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you guys sending them, but
yeah,
we can't get to everyone.
The podcast is already long enough.
Yeah. All right, so continuing coverage of what's going on with Ohio State at Cleveland.com. Continuing coverage. Oh, Bill, we started the Hey Bills.
Oh, yeah.
How can they send a Hey Bill?
You can email them to me at blandis, that's B-L-A-N-D-I-S, at Cleveland.com, or on Twitter at BillLandis25, and it'll be a weekly thing that will probably transition to maybe the more basketball stuff after the football season's over. But it's just like a mailbag. So if you have questions or you have thoughts, whatever, send them to me, and I'll put them in there and answer them and share my thoughts on your thoughts. You used to do these, right? Like back in the day.
Yeah, we do it a lot at Cleveland.com. I was very inconsistent at it.
I like it. Like, it's fun to do, and and frankly, it's kind of easy to do. But it's just fun to talk about the team in that way, especially now when we don't really have anything else to talk about because we're not at practice.
Right.
So yeah, if you have questions or comments or thoughts, whatever, send them my way, and they'll go in there.
And if you feel like your questions have not been answered adequately on the podcast, direct them at Hey Bill, and maybe they'll get answered there.
Yep.
All right. That's it. We'll see you at the show on the 27th. Thanks to you guys for reading and for listening. Thanks to Andrew for – he didn't leave. Did you guys think he might leave?
Did you want to leave?
I fell asleep a couple times, but I was here the whole time.
I like having another voice in the podcast. We might have to have you back.
Yeah.
We might give you – we'll give you a center cut slice of pizza every week if you decide to come back again.
Do you still want to be in journalism? Yeah.
Smart.
All right. Thanks to Andrew for being here. Thanks to you guys for listening. For Tim and Bill, I'm Doug. And that was Buckeye Talk.